שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא מחוסר אונים.
Hello, we're at a lesson on the topic of from helplessness to not cry to the Creator. You can watch our lesson at camp.tv and ask questions there. Selected questions relevant to the topic will be asked during the lesson. A lesson about from helplessness to not cry to the Creator.
After we were speaking about this for a few days, less you lesson on how to approach a state of above reason, that the reason is what we feel in our current state, according to the judge, only has what his eyes can see. That's our reason, above reason, that even though we don't take that into account, supposedly that it's not important for us at all, and in our eyes it's worth as zero, even though we're speaking about our spiritual life, what we're going to receive from this, how we relate from our will to receive to the spiritual state, as much as we feel helplessness, lack of success, that we want to attain something, but we see that it's impossible, it's not for us, not for me. Maybe everybody can and I can't, and that feeling just grabs a person, and then we start criticizing where my feelings came from, and altogether, and this specifically, and it came from the Creator. So if it's a Creator, it's not that it came by a coincidence. There's no such thing. It is all directed to us, to me, in order to help me advance to something. And I already see reasons behind it. And to my correct response, that by that I need to annul everything I feel as important, because it's all towards me, speaking about me. So I have to lower myself below all these feelings, determining all these states, and to receive upon myself a different goal, that my whole life, all my actions, will be only to give contentment, to cause something good to the Creator. And specifically upon all these states that He is sending me, as states of concern, helplessness. So exactly here is where I am on the scales. Who is more important? Me? What am I going to get from this? Or the Creator? What can I cause Him? And if it's already, I've studied enough, I've maybe drawn some lights through the study and work in the group, so I decide that obviously there's no value in thinking about me. I'm willing to give up on everything. Life, death, all kinds of rewards. The main thing is to give contentment to the Creator without anything in return to myself. that he won't know about me, that I won't know what I'm causing to him, just to know that I am doing it correctly. That I will scrutinize. But except for that, all additional phenomena that could bring me some kind of a grasp to my state, except for giving him contentment, so there is none, I don't want any, I'm even asking not to have it. And this is how I strengthen myself and keep going. When I determine such a state that this is what I want, so we also said that to aim myself towards the Creator, I can only do under the condition that I determine it through the group. Because who's the Creator? He is what's in the group. I dwell amongst my people. And in this way, I need to come closer to the group, to develop a connection to them, to bestow to them, and to do everything as Rabash writes in the articles of the society, to bow down towards them, to help them, to be equal to them, to awaken greatness of the Creator in them, greatness of working in Lishma, and more. When we organize ourselves in this way, we did it. So now there's me in the group and the Creator in the group and me who found this path. Now I'm strengthening myself on this path. And here, there's already work of settling down, as you can say, that I have to see if I change myself, if I change my attitude towards a group, if the group changes supposedly outside of me, or the Creator shows me through the group, either directly, by all kinds of these changes and these three different causes. So, what happens? Do I retreat? Do I advance? Do I strengthen myself? What's happening with our alvut, with our mutual support, mutual bestowal between me, group Creator, and group Creator group, and the Creator towards the group towards the Creator, the group towards me? Those three different causes, how we can strengthen each other and feel as much as we're dependent on one another, whether it's desired or not, how we can be in mutual bestowal. That is actually determining the first state. So, we found what faith means, meaning bestowal, above reason, above the force of reception, the calculation, what we're doing in faith. The main thing is to bestow without any self-benefit, in disconnecting from myself, that in this way we need to relate to the group just like the Creator, because all in all, my attitude in the group, what I determine, that will be the Creator, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. And here for now, we'll stick to this. We need to understand all these components really well, and how and in what way they are in mutual bestowal between them. So let's keep going.
Excerpt number 13 from the document From Helplessness to an Outcry to the Creator. An excerpt from Wabash, the article Jacob Went Out. The exit of a righteous from a place leaves an impression, refers to a person for when the righteous is in town. It means that a person can justify providence. Then, when he overcomes the state he is in and says, there is no doubt that the Creator, who is good and does good, is behaving benevolently with me. However, he wants me to feel as I do. It follows that he is justifying providence. At that time, he immediately sees the importance of the work of bestowal and above reason. This is called when the righteous is in town. He is its splendor, he is its brilliance, he is its majesty. For then he sees all the virtues. When he departs from there, means that he has departed from justifying providence and wants to see everything within reason. At that time, he feels no taste in the work in order to bestow. And then its splendor departs, its brilliance departs, and its majesty departs, and he falls once more into self-love. In other words, at that time, he knows nothing but work that is built on a basis of within reason. This is regarded as the exit of the righteous from the place leaves an impression. It means that only then, through the exit of the righteous, when he thinks, now that I feel good taste in the work, I no longer need to work above reason, it causes him the exit of the righteous from the place. This creates in him an impression, so he will know how to keep himself from exiting the work above reason from here on. As I heard from Baal HaSulam, when a person says, now that he has support and no longer stands between heaven and earth, he must fall from his degree, because then he falls from the discernment of above reason. It therefore follows that precisely the departure of the degree he had leaves an impression on him, so he will know how to be careful next time and will not blemish the faith above reason, but always justify providence.
So when the righteous is in the city, as we say, that he justifies man's state, it's in him. So then he's willing to go above all personal calculations, to bestow contentment through the friends to the Creator. When everything outside of him, that he receives it as it all belongs to the Creator. When the righteous isn't in the city, city is called man. The righteous is the justification, that he can't justify his state, but falls into the calculation of the reason. So then he returns to himself and then thinks differently, what's going to happen, for what, why, is it worth it, so on. All the calculations that are in Malchut compared to Bina. We need to be in these states, to feel them, how they influence one another. As we learn in tests, we studied a lot about that. We can repeat it, but it's really spread out through the whole study of the Ten Sefirot. The relation between Bina and Malchut. Malchut ascends to Bina, comes back down, to what degree, in which of view does she use? how she sustains the second restriction, how it happens that she's shattered. Well, it's not now, but it's all around that matter. As much as the righteous is in man, that justification to everything the Creator is doing, upon having nothing and not ever having anything in Malchut, that she must be restricted. And we here need to fill the gap between these states. That will start acknowledging them. That this passage from reason to above reason and back down in reason, this passage is the machsum. It will be understood, usual, under our control, because that's where the restriction is, that's where the masach is, that's where the whole work is, upon which of viut I can determine that I am above it. And as much as I've fallen, and if I've fallen, how do I quickly justify the Creator that this fall isn't a fall? It's always for an ascent. There's no action that doesn't come for the ascent, and so on. If I was in this action of justifying above my ego, above my reason, so I'd want to bestow from society to the Creator. I was adhered to the society. I was thinking about them in a way, in full devotion, that I'm only thinking about them, only on their benefit, only on their spiritual benefit, that I was able to bestow all the best of them and nothing left for me, just for them. That's the upper light, and according to that, shines on me, and more, strengthens me in that. So that leaves an impression, and afterwards, when I descend, fall, so I receive a greater descent, and according to that, and then a greater ascent. Anyway, in this place is where we need to wait a bit and not run, but specifically that is a very important state. The righteous comes to the city and the righteous leaves the city. What? How can we discover that we have the state of the righteous in the city? How do I see that the righteous is in the city? The city is the Adam, man. The righteous is justifying all the actions that the Creator is doing. When can I truly say that I'm justifying Him? Please.
From what I heard, it's when a person is in prayer for the friends, when he's willing to give himself for the sake of their spirituality, and the light gives him more and more power. This is a state when the righteous is in town.
And it's expressed in the attitude towards the friends that I feel the forces to be in prayer and thought that every concern that the friends will succeed in spirituality, I feel a special attitude towards the friends.
Righteous is a state when I think only of the friends, pray for them, have no thought of my own state, what I feel, and then the light works and shines on us and raises us.
Meaning, the starting point is that man is just dipped in the group and says, this is the Creator, and justifies that, and not with his own mind.
Right. It's, when can I say it? When there's no me. When there is this magic of a common feeling, like a writer's team or a symphony or something alive that's made of us, that's greater than each of us, and we're all living it. A new mind, a new heart, where there's no me or concern for me, but a new reality.
When a person feels that there's no self-calculation, that he doesn't feel about anything in his personal life, he's just included with the friends, and that's where he wants to live and do everything for them, feels the mutual force dwelling in them.
That power is one and is revealed in the relationship between us as 10 Sefirot that are very united. Different forms of that one force that is revealed between us, which is good and does good. It's a feeling that we are part of that force that sustains us, that mutual dependency, mutual guarantee, that actually begins to work in us where there's no me. I'm absorbed in that power and I live in that thought for everyone.
Is that the greatness of the goal burns so much that everything in my personal life, off feelings, I can annul them.
Yeah, when all the parts of me, group, creator, become inseparable in our minds.
And when there's gratitude that comes from the heart, when the Kabbalist words actually happen, and we see how from the state of perfection, every problem is another opportunity to add in devotion. It's an opposite world, that every flaw is an opportunity to ascend, that from the perfection we approach the darkness.
And he's got the strength to do this work because he feels the upper force, that he's in the group. And that gives him the power to rise above any personal feeling.
And he justifies all the actions in this force because he sees that every action just brings the 10 closer to him. This perfection that's revealed between us to him, including coming out of this state that is made in order to increase and teach us even more how to adhere to him. That's why he can justify every state.
Just the friends describe it really gives you pleasure. An anticipation of what we're going to reveal. And that leaves an impression that gives you the strength to return to this place and make this effort again.
Yeah, and receiving everything that shows up in happiness. In our relations, every gap becomes another degree that we can step on and rise and strengthen the connection even more.
Yeah, I also thought it causes a lot of joy to be constantly connected to the goal.
Number 14 from Rabash 1. What is Israel in the exile? The Shekhinah is with them in the work. The Creator wants them to see his real state, how remote he is from working in the benefit of the Creator. For this reason, the Creator has taken from him the flavor he felt in Lo Lishma, which leaves him lifeless. It follows that the Creator is tending to him and wants to admit him into Kedusha. Therefore, now he must pray to the Creator to help him, since now he needs his help. Otherwise, he sees that he is completely lost. This is regarded as having obtained a kli and a need for the Creator's help, since now he sees that he is truly separated from the Creator, because he has no life. For one who adheres to the Creator has life. As it is written, "For with you is the source of life." Now he can certainly pray from the bottom of the heart. For real prayer is specifically from the bottom of the heart. Accordingly, he should be thankful to the Creator for letting him see his true state. Now he sees that he needs the Creator to give him the necessary assistance, as our sages said, "He who comes to purify is aided." And the Zohar asks, "With what is he aided?" And it replies, "With a holy soul." Therefore, now the Creator has given him an opportunity to obtain a holy soul. He should be delighted about the state of descent and suffering that he feels in this state. For this reason, he should say that he is not in a state of descent, but on the contrary, he is in a state of an ascent. By this we can interpret what our sages said: when torments come upon Israel, they surrender and pray. This means that when they come into a state of descent, they see their true state, that they are in lowliness. This is considered that they surrender, since they see their state, that they have parted from the life of lives. For one who has dvikut with the Creator is alive. Otherwise, he feels only suffering. Therefore, it is clear to him that now is the time for prayer from the bottom of the heart. This is the meaning of the words, "They surrender and pray."
The Creator wants him to see his real state, how remote he is from working for the benefit of the Creator. For this reason, the Creator has taken from him the flavor he felt in Lo Lishma, not for her sake, which leaves him lifeless. It follows that the Creator is tending to him and wants to admit him into Kedusha, holiness. Therefore, now he must pray to the Creator to help him.
How can we promise ourselves that during the descent, the fall, the helplessness, the darkness, we can feel that it came purposely from the Creator, because they lower us in sanctity in order for us to rise? How do I return to awareness from the feeling of the darkness? That I feel the darkness in the beginning, I only feel darkness, nothing but that, only reason. How do I start receiving, except for reason, some kind of understanding that it came to me from some plan, software, a cause that is outside of my will to receive, where I feel the darkness? How can I organize this cause to just be before me in a way that I can use it always in those difficult moments? That's the question. Is that clear? Is it not clear to somebody? Okay. You're silent, so I asked. What? Okay, what isn't clear? What question isn't clear?
I couldn't put the words together into a sentence. I heard what you're saying, but I couldn't.
He doesn't know Hebrew, huh? Our reader. I was in a state. Suddenly I felt that I'm in darkness. What does that mean, in darkness? Depict that to me. Well, explain, what is darkness? What for you is darkness?
In general, it's when the will to receive is empty. When it doesn't feel any pleasure and satisfaction in nothing.
Good. So, dark. I don't have anything today. Also, I don't even look at my past. I'm not looking at the future. I won't get any support or fulfillment from the past, present, future. That I don't see anything in life that I have anything to hold on to, right? What next? What happens in such a case?
On our path, I turn to the group, I connect to the Avot.
If you have the forces to turn to the group, you're not in darkness, so it's not darkness, it's a state of work. Darkness is called that you're dead, that's it. How do you resurrect yourself from death? You need to start with, to prepare the group. That, how's that group called? The Sacred Assembly. That they brought you support. That sacred society, which is in connection with the Creator, and it is always like that towards somebody who falls, they must awaken what you don't have. That there is some direction from above, from the Creator, towards you, and you're under a certain process now. So, we need to prepare the group. How can we prepare them to keep, to take care of me and always remind me about that matter? Well,
how do I do it? I prepare it in advance.
Okay, in advance. So how do we prepare the group in advance? Instantly. Not that they have to work or anything, but it lives in us that instantly when there's somebody who falls, we don't know if he fell or not. But right away, the avut, that feeling, that rumor, everything in the group works on a person and brings him the thought that he didn't have inside him, because if he fell, he fell. He has no spark of life. And from us, he feels that illumination, that everything that happens to him is directed from the Creator in order to wake up and start from the group to relate to that upper force that caused that to him. The group must bring him that pipeline to throw that rope, take him out of prison, and connect him to the source of life. How do we do it that each and every one has such a thing prepared for him? Well, some security guard office. Salvation office. Without that, we can't advance.
So this salvation office may be the routine, the morning lesson, Yeshivot Chavalim, assembly of friends, the meeting of the 10, places where we feel that there's power in the gathering, Zoom during the day, Zoom meetings. Beyond that, any action that shows the friend or concern in any way.
That routine and So a person doesn't run, but how we live this? I don't know, I have a depiction of there's such states in the 10 where everybody adds, and there's like a flame that every moment is burning. It just burns everything. Everything that comes just burns. And then even if a person falls, he doesn't understand, but he can connect it to none else besides him. From that, he can raise that it doesn't really harm him, and he has to leave that self-concern. But it's very active work in the 10, in igniting the greatness of Creator in advance.
It's the covenant we create, what we have the power to do. When we have the power, we create the connection, that special connection between us, so that when each one falls, we feel that a part of the group is left, and it automatically works on him.
Yeah, and thought and action and deeds, and that we practice a big, greater and greater depth between us and the 10 all the time. We have to reach a state where we feel every cell, what's going on in him. This morning, for instance, one of the friends who isn't here, but he's overseas, he wrote in the WhatsApp that he can't awaken a different friend, so a different friend woke him up. Anyway, the concern of one friend and the deed of a different friend, he woke him up and brought him here. So it's an example. It's a rough example of keeping a framework. Same thing. We need every day, throughout the day, to have sensitivity to every state of the 10 and every individual in it.
Yeah, the question evokes a sense of gratitude because we have the lesson and the friends and the framework and the dissemination, things that are at our disposal, and they are really lifelines to what Rav describes. A person can know if he's in avut, in mutual guarantee, according to the quickness of response. Only then can he measure how quickly he returns to connecting it to the source. Preparing it internally, I don't know how to do this.
This means that everyone should be in this effort, in this action towards the 10, and thought towards the 10. And then it happens that when he falls, everybody's in this effort. This is the concern, because beyond the actions we determined, every time the clock rings, it should start being here in the back of my head, that every friend who comes can fall, and I'm here to hold him. And when I'm here, they hold me.
Right. Only the avud can lift us out of darkness, and avud is also something external, to see to the greatness of the goal, to see that my body comes here in whatever state, and internal avud, internal prayer during the day. So all the friends think about connection and the goal.
So in practice, it's like this part ended. There has to be a feeling of life from the dvikut. And if this is what happens in the group, that there's this burning and this motion, and maybe there aren't the conditions in the group, but I feel I'm alive, even though I'm not connected in the group. I know where the well is when I start becoming thirsty. And the friends can aim it, they can remind it.
It's built mainly out of habit, like when you bring a horse back to the stable. You constantly return to the group to be under its shade in difficult states. It builds an inner feeling in a person that he's completely disoriented with regard to the friends. He needs the connection to create the right pattern for life.
Rav, is a person, as much as he's happy if he's in helplessness and suffering, and from them can pray to the Creator? How can we measure the extent of his happiness? Please.
When he feels that he needs the friends more and more, that he is lost without them, that there is his life, and there he will be happy.
Yeah, as much as his connection to the Creator and the friends is more important than everything he feels as good or bad, and it's constantly built in him, that state is everything that a result of what happened before. He has no control about it. And then he discovers that he's lacking it, that's what he has to bless, because it's a good result.
To what extent is one happy that his helplessness and darkness and suffering and can pray to the Creator? If someone could hear us, that a person is happy when he's helpless. But there is, we have the states where these two dimensions are appear. On one hand, it's the suffering and the trouble that pushes you toward society. And gradually from lo lishma to lishma, all kinds of discernments surface, and the dependency and the friends appear as something completely different. A new reality appears to him, that if he weren't pushed out of darkness and helplessness, he may not have achieved it.
I guess the extent of the happiness is the work that happened in advance, that if he fell and fell deep, but still he feels the source of the fall, and that there is a connection that brings him back, that gives him that place of prayer, that makes him happy. And from that gap, he sees value in the connection made with the Creator.
It also depends on the greatness of the goal. If he's in a state of darkness and he can immediately understand that it comes from the Creator and the goal is great in my eyes, I'm happy. It's an opportunity to rise. But if the goal is not important to me, then so is the happiness.
Maybe I'll add that from this state, the part that bestows in a person is born. It's that happiness.
So only out of dvikut, adhesion with the group, and as a result with the Creator, is there power to look and say the body has its own desires, it is helpless, but there's a part that's happy. Those two parts, it's those two dimensions.
Maybe it's measured in the inner gratitude that how many years a person has to exert until he feels it in the bones, that the fall came from self-love, and everything he's lacking is greatness of the Creator through avut with the friends and adhesion in the group. Just knowing that causes a person to understand how many opportunities he gave, that he gave opportunities to feel the friends. A person just didn't value what it is to be above his self-concern.
Excerpt number 15 from the article, anything that the merciful one does, he does for the best. Avid, in Aramaic, do, comes from the word avud, in Hebrew, lost. For the ayin and aleph are interchangeable. In other words, when a person comes to a state where he is truly lost, when he does not see how he can exist in the world, or that he has anything to hold on to, and he has exhausted all the tactics and ideas, and sees that after all the labor and exertions, everything is lost, he must brace himself and say, everything that the Merciful One does, he does, is for the best. In other words, the Creator brought him all those states of being lost, and they are for the best. That is, through them, he has come to a state where he is at the lowest degree. And by this, he will be able to rise up. As it is written, the Lord is high and the low will see. And there is no greater lowliness than when one feels completely lost. This is the meaning of everything that the Merciful One does, He does for the best. Afterward, when He begins to work once more and correct His actions, and makes repentance from love, He says, this too is for the best, meaning the states when he was lost. And there is no greater transgression than a person coming to a state of being lost. When he repents from love, he sees that this too is for the best, that from the bad itself, the good was done. It follows that there is a difference between everything that the Merciful One does and this too is for the best.
Obviously, it's all for the best because the Creator reveals the empty vessels to us, which are in our reason, in our will to receive. That's why, obviously, it's for the best. He does it as like he prepares it all for us. If he would bring us these vessels as a full will to receive and all the best that the will to receive wants, how could we empty them? Empty them in spirituality means to relate to them as if there's no fulfillment. Let the fulfillment be there, but I don't take it into account. How could I do that? Let's say food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, all the best. And all kinds of goals, perspectives in this world, future, the whole world, the whole universe opens for me. In all vessels, in all the desires that, and even more, and fulfillments, and also not fulfillments, and in the lights, also in surrounding lights that pull me ahead to all kinds of states. How could I get rid of my reason and rise above it? Get rid of it, meaning like to disregard what I have in the vessels of reception, and with all the filling in them, and to raise the vessels of bestowal. Is that possible or not? The fact that the Creator gives us a state that I have nothing in my reason, in your vessels, in your life, what do you have? Look, everything's in a crisis, nobody understands. What do you have to feel in this world? Nonsense. It's so truly prepares for us, our little ones, weak ones, a state where the state itself pushes us to above reason. Let's try and depict to ourselves that it was otherwise. We talked about it, that we want to stand on this state and scrutinize all the abilities in it, all the variations that can be in it, in this state. So if the Creator wouldn't empty in our feelings, empty our reason, and we would be in our reason, feel that all the best, pleasure, fulfillment, knowledge, mind, everything, how could we, and with what, by what, rise above it and relate to all the reason and fulfillment in the reason, because it's not worth it, so don't need it, I don't want it, just to come out, just to rise above it. Well, what do?
No.
pleasures come fill us. All kinds of plans, opportunities fill us. All kinds of inventions or whatnot. Well, what do we do? Anybody have some kind of advice?
Milchama.
War. With which vessels?
Friends.
Friends. The friends are also in such trouble.
By changing values. This is exactly the boundary, to give up one set of values and switch to another set of values.
By what?
Increasing the importance.
But you're entirely in the importance of corporeality.
But I lower its value, I choose it.
With what? Let a person understand that he's clogged, that he has no opportunity, no ability.
Through a decision in advance that if I know nothing...
What did you decide? You're completely confused. You have money, honor, control, whatever you want.
A decision in advance means that when I'm in a good situation, I make the scrutiny and the choice that if I feel bad, I'll go there without thinking.
But you feel good. What do you mean you feel bad?
In a state where I feel good, I calculate and say, I want to prepare myself to be righteous in a state.
How can you decide such a thing?
Together with the society.
Okay. There's no wise as the experienced. There's something to get wiser in. Yes, Ephraim, are you something else?
By changing values, for example, instead of being happy that you have a nice car, you change it into someone who's learning Kabbalah. That is the most important thing in life. So kids see their father, meaning an example in society, that this place of spirituality is the most precious.
What?
More?
No.
What?
It reminds us that once on Sukkot, when Rabash was asked what was missing, he said, an attack on the importance of the goal. The more we attack the importance of the goal, we'll feel how much we need it, and everything else will become tasteless.
More. Yeah.
Dugmaot shel chaverim ha-mesurim.
Examples of dedicated friends. Only examples I see of friends being much more dedicated than I can push me forward.
The matter is that a person himself, obviously in such a case, cannot bring himself out. He is sold. All those pleasures of bottom, and he's in them, and he has no place, not in his heart, not in his mind, to think and feel that he is lacking something. Without a deficiency in the desire, we cannot come out of that state. But in our desire, we have a deficiency from the state of Adam Rishon when we were connected. And through that desire, which wasn't implemented because by the shattering he was disconnected from everybody, but we can awaken him by the environment. The environment can, in a sneaky way, it's not simple, it can awaken in a person.
בכל זאת
a feeling that there is something else beyond what he has. This whole world, you have it. You are the king of everything. You have everything, except for one thing. He has a vessel where he was connected in that small vessel, a cell in his will to receive that was connected to the others, and through that place that is empty, but it's like unfelt, they can awaken that emptiness in him. And through that, bestow to him that there's something else that you don't have. And if it's awakened, so this desire is more exalted than anything he feels, that he's full and he's not lacking anything, and then they can awaken him. But it's only the environment. Only the environment in a sneaky, complex way can awaken it in him. Okay, we finished 15. Read it again.
Excerpt 15. Avid, Aramaic do, comes from the word avud, Hebrew lost. For the ayin and the aleph are interchangeable. In other words, when a person comes to a state where he is truly lost, when he does not see how he can exist in the world, or that he has anything to hold on to, and he has exhausted all the tactics and ideas, and sees that after all the labor and exertions, everything is lost. He must brace himself and say, everything that the Merciful One does is for the best. In other words, the Creator brought him all those states of being lost, and they are for the best. That is, through them, he has come to a state where he is at the lowest degree. And by this, he will be able to rise up. As it is written, the Lord is high and the low will see. For there is no greater lowliness than when one feels completely lost. This is the meaning of everything that the Merciful One does, he does for the best. Afterward, when he begins to work once more and correct his actions and makes repentance from love, he says, this too is for the best, meaning the states when he was lost. And there is no greater transgression than a person coming to a state of being lost. When he repents from love, he sees that this too is for the best, that from the bad itself, the good was done. It follows that there is a difference between everything that the Merciful One does and this too is for the best.
Questions?
It's the first time I hear about the connection to Adam Rishon, that if the society uses a power, it can take a person out of a state of pleasures, feelings.
We were all connected to one system, right? We all got some kind of feeding, nursing through the others. After the shattering, each one receives alone. Alone, meaning it's also through the others, but in such a way that it's not called they're all intending to fill each other. That's what we call receiving alone. And what he received, that's called kista de chayuta, that smallest portion of light to just give him livelihood, so he's like waiting until he awakens. So if there's a group which towards each and every one can enliven, can awaken that connection of that cell that was sliced off, to feel that he is sliced off, to feel that he has an additional deficiency, not corporeal, that he didn't think of, and now they awaken him. Or speaking about a person who was in the group and suddenly feels that he's not lacking anything, and he leaves. If we strengthen in that, so we can hold every person that comes out of here, that he won't be able to leave if he's connected to us. We can enliven our connection with him, even though he himself is disconnected. And then he will feel that even though he has all the best in the world, but this he doesn't have. And since this, I mean spirituality, that through us he could have received it. And then he feels that he has nothing, because all those corporeal pleasures that are limited and temporary, they're worth nothing compared to spiritual, eternal, and unlimited pleasures. That's it.
So there are two questions here. How this force, which is concealed from a person, meaning person with respect to that force towards this connection, he has no work. But what the society is aware of this connection, I don't understand how to work with this.
If a person is connected to the group, and then he disconnects as he receives the burdening of the heart, and then he's shown in all of his vessels of his reason that he has sufficient fulfillment to live and be happy with it, and that's why he can't move, then only the group can awaken him.
But we constantly spoke of love of friends, we spoke of things from our world. We never said that it is a part of a connection with the soul of Adam HaRishon, which is the force that...
Where do you have any connection from? Where do you have any connection? What kind of connection you have with a person? Well, because he sits with you in a meal or sings the same songs or what? We're talking about spiritual connections. In general, it's all spirituality.
So in our work with each other, in what changes the awareness of man and the environment towards that force? Because it can be something above this world.
I don't know what's above this world or not. We now want to connect between us to such a system, a 10, where everyone's interdependent, where everyone's mutually supporting each other, so that we're all as one. So there are connections between us. These ties, we revive them from those connections that we had in Adam HaRishon, which were then hidden from us, concealed. Now we are enlivening them.
So how do we depict such connections? Because we read in Tess about the soul of Adam HaRishon and the connections, but what am I? What a group? What are these connections? How do we depict them?
That they exist between everyone. Because the whole shattering and the distance and the concealment is only with respect to us and not the system itself. In and of itself, it is alive and well. Nothing is broken, nothing is concealed, nothing is distant. It's all with respect to us, so that we will renew the connection through the awakening of our own desire for it. The shattering is only in our mind and in our heart. It's not that it's actually in general the whole process from above downwards, the descent of all the worlds from Malchut of Ein Sof, and the ascent up the ladder, it's all in our imagination. But really, in truth, everyone's in the same state. It's only in order to renew our attitude to where we are. We are in adhesion with the Creator in the most absolute, complete way, and nothing disappears and goes away from that. Only with respect to us, to our imagination, it appears to us that there's a shattering and distance and restrictions and all of those things, and then we're here. And here, from this imaginary state, we have to begin discovering the true state, which never changed. We only need to correct our vessels of perception of that eternal state.
No, Shapira,
yes, Shapira, that's exactly where you...
Yeah. If I understand correctly, he writes that when a person feels that he's in a state of being lost, that is the best possible state. What is so special about that state of being lost?
The being lost is the best state because then you're not relying on your vessels.
And what does he do with that if he's lost, detached?
Well, as a result of knowing that you have nothing to rely on, that you have nothing within yourself, then you can keep going because you're lost. You can't stay in that state.
There's the strength to come out of it from that state?
I don't know if you have the strength to come out of it or not. That's a different thing already. Strength to come out of it? Usually, no. Usually, how will he have any strength of his own? What kind of a hero he is.
So what does he do with this feeling of being lost?
Searching. Searching. That feeling doesn't let him rest.
What
do you mean? Of course. He'll do anything to save his soul.
Oh,
Gershon, I see. Yeah, the usual gang. You should be all in a tan, for there'll be an example for us.
First of all, there is great gratitude about this lesson on Saturday, for this place we have come to. I have two questions.
A big problem?
No, gratitude.
Gratitude. Very well.
I have two questions. A person has to go through those states, both of the fulfillment that he feels that he is captive of this fulfillment and he can't do anything about it, as you have just described. He has to go through it, right?
Yes.
Second question. In the preparation...
Otherwise, how do you make a restriction? In every stage, you have to be full in materialism and decide... What's the attitude to it? How do you relate to it? Yeah.
Can it be said that the sign that someone is somehow connected to the group is if he feels in that state, that point that looks at him from the side and it feels lost? This is a parameter for being connected to the soul of Adam Rishon, as you have described?
You'll begin to feel it. The system itself, you will begin to gradually better and better describe how it works. A little bit here and there, and you know, like a little kid that discovers, this is connected to that, I didn't know it existed, now I know. Gradually the world becomes revealed to you. Yeah.
In the preparation, you said you gave us some guidance. I have a question about it. I heard you said that the main thing is to bring contentment to the Creator without getting anything in return, just to know that I'm doing it correctly. How do you scrutinize that you're working above reason correctly without falling into within reason?
You ask to know how to do it. I have to have correct thoughts on how to turn to the group and how I know for sure that I bestow through it correctly to the center of the group, to the Creator. The moment I disappear among the friends and I give myself to them and only them, there I find the Creator. It says, in a place where you find his humbleness, meaning where I go to zero in the group, there I find the greatness of the Creator.
There is no great pleasure here. You don't fall into within reason here.
That we'll discuss later. Of course there is, but that's a different work. The pleasures are required. The Creator wants us to enjoy this whole work, this whole quest, and the purpose of creation is pleasure. To do good to his created beings. But that the created being will receive pleasure from what? From recognizing the greatness of the Creator. Not in receiving. He's not receiving anything. We talked about it once, that the upper light we're talking about is really like, just like that. That little black point, the upper light is the same. It's like one spark, and all the rest of it depends on our awareness, our recognition of it, how much we appreciate it. It's like it is said about the Creator and the angels. That he looks at the drop of sperm and asks, who is it, who will it be, and so forth. Meaning, no more than a little spark is needed, tiny spark.
A student from Petah Tikva and Igor from Kiev are asking, you said that that the society can revive a falling friend who left. You said that the society has to do it in a sophisticated way. So how do we do that?
Thinking, praying, focusing in thought, in desire. The group is capable of doing that. Describing him, it's kind of a hypnosis. Sorry to use that term. But we're describing the state where that person is among us. And with our power and of thought and desire, we want to draw him into us to be among us. He's important to us. He's desired. He can add to the work of the Creator. We don't need him for ourselves. That we are thinking that together with him, we can bring contentment to the Creator more than without him. And then, by that, we attract him. Meaning, we attract by pointing to that point between us, as if that empty chair that we want to fill. And we already make some actions in our bestowal upon the Creator, both prayers and actions of different kinds, as though he's with us. By that, you awaken 100% of the forces of the system that will influence him. And then he will feel, without words, without knowing anything, that he has to fill that space. This isn't mysticism or some, I don't know what, some like all kinds of spells, but you simply revive the connection network between you, and in that way you influence people. This could be both in a will to receive and in a will to bestow. As it says, that no one can escape the rule of Egypt, the rule of Pharaoh. Okay, guys, we have to wear. Ah, okay, Kharkov.
Good morning, Rav.
Доброе утро. Good morning.
Can't hear him well.
Я нахожусь в группе, а не в своей иллюзии, и из этой иллюзии строю сегодняшний урок. И проверка есть какая сейчас?
Is there a clear examination that I'm in the group and not in my own illusion?
No. No. The test that to see that you're not an illusion and truly in the group is your own test. The friend's response to you, your test, the pace of your progress. This is measuring that as a standard that can happen. You have to always care about that. You always have to care about that. There's no solution or limit to it, to no end. How much I belong to the group, that is something that has to always be in concern and always growing, that I constantly intensify and expand my connection with the group, because that's where I perceive the Creator. Also, you can imagine the group like a net, where you catch the fish or the whale or the creator. The chokhmah that later appears like a whale in the sea of infinity, which is the sea of the light of chasadim. All right. We are moving to the next part. This is too much, but make a summary of the lesson for what we need to do during the day and realize it. And as usual, every hour we fill up the diary, the meeting twice or three times a day. Akoka, where is he? Send me, yeah? As usual. When is it? And in the evening, you have gathering of friends, right? Good. So, good luck. And we're moving to tests.
Moving on to the next part of the